So last week, we read chapter 9, and we make the road. And here's where we are in this story the Bible is telling. So the book of Genesis ends with Joseph and his brothers and all their families taking up residence in Egypt. But as we turn the page and begin the Exodus story, we find that Joseph and his brothers and the generations that followed them have grown large, and out of fear, Pharaoh and Egypt have turned them into slaves. And it's in this context that Moses is born. He's born a Hebrew, but raised an Egyptian royalty at that. He grows up as part of Pharaoh's extended family. And after the story of his birth, Exodus jumps right into Moses as an adult. So, just before chapter 3, one day he witnesses a Hebrew slave being beaten by an Egyptian. So Moses, we assume, knows about his Hebrew identity. And so he murders the Egyptian who was beating him and hides him in the sand. The next day, Moses notices two Hebrews fighting each other, and he tries to break it up. One of them says to Moses, "Hey, will you murder me like you murdered the Egyptian yesterday?" So Pharaoh finds out about the murder and is hunting Moses down to kill him. And so Moses flees. He runs away, ends up in the land of Midian. He eventually marries, he starts a family, becomes a shepherd. And that leads right into the story of the burning bush. So this is often seen as one of the best and most beloved stories from the Bible. And Hollywood's taken a pretty good stab at it and done fairly well. I looked up the Charlton Heston Ten Commandments version of the burning bush scene, and for 1956, special effects aren't that bad. Prince of Egypt is an animated version from 1998. They do a really nice job with this scene. And then there's the Christian Bale Exodus Gods and King movie that came out a couple years ago, and that has an interesting take on this scene. I encourage you to check these scenes out. So Moses is tending to his sheep one day, and he notices a bush that's not burning up. And so as Thomas said, this is Moses' first ever encounter with God. And God calls to him out of the bush and says, "Moses, before you come any closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for you are standing on holy ground." So now, occasionally when I walk into someone's home, I can tell that I should take my shoes off. Often there's a sign right when you walk in that says, "Please take your shoes off." That's usually the first hint. But sometimes there isn't a sign, and I'm asked to take them off. It's not as common here as it is in other cultures around the world, but I still experience it occasionally. So taking off shoes keeps the house clean, but it also signifies a respect for the house that you're entering. There's a certain kind of reverence you have for a home when you take your shoes off after entering, especially if it's not your own home. And how I've primarily understood this story in the past is that God is asking for reverence and respect as Moses approaches. "Moses, you're about to be in communication with the creator of the universe, so take your shoes off, put your head down, and listen up." That makes sense, right? Moses, the creator God, is speaking to you, so approach with fear and trembling and just say yes to whatever God is asking of you. That makes sense, but instead, the story describes Moses as not incredibly awestruck and filled with reverence. He doesn't bow his head and say yes to whatever God is asking him. Instead, after God tells him to remove his sandals, the story says he's filled with fear. But why is he afraid? Is he afraid of being harmed by this God speaking out of a bush? Maybe. But I wonder if Moses is really afraid of being seen for who he truly is in the presence of this God. God sees who Moses is and still invites him to come closer. And by removing his sandals, God invites him to take off anything that covers up or glosses over who Moses really is. I wonder if God is not asking for reverence from Moses, but instead inviting him to be vulnerable, to be honest, to be truthful with who he is. God is saying, Moses, come to me not as who you want to be or who you think you should be, but come to me just as you are. And that invitation naturally scares him. I wonder if instead of reverence and fear and trembling before God, God desires for Moses to just be himself with all his gifts and all his skills and all of his flaws. God is inviting him to become honest with who he is and not to be afraid to be open and vulnerable before God. Because right now, at this moment in the story, he is not yet the great leader that we think of. He has not yet slammed his staff to the ground and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. He has not yet led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. He has not yet walked down Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments in his hands. He's not yet that person. Yet. Instead, he's a guy who left Egypt as a criminal and buried his past in the sand and rebooted his life. He's Hebrew, but he was raised Egyptian, and now he's married into the Midianites. Who is Moses? Can Moses even answer that question? When God says, take your sandals off, for you are standing on holy ground, I wonder if God is inviting him into something so much deeper than reverence and respect. God is inviting Moses to begin the journey of becoming his truest and his most authentic self. And to do that, and if he can do that in front of God and discover God's light and love and presence and acceptance, if Moses can tell the truth about his life in front of God, well, Moses is going to find out what he's truly capable of. And if we can do that in front of God, we are going to find out what we are truly capable of. The challenge is that vulnerability is not usually desired, at least not at first. At first, it's scary. At first, it's threatening. Everything in us wants us to protect ourselves and keep us safe. Keep us safe from anything that's uncomfortable. But our souls, our truest selves, who we are at our core, our soul's ultimate desire for us is to be whole. Not perfect, but whole. And at this point in Moses' life, we could say that his life is completely untapped. There is so much waiting for him. There are so many gifts and skills waiting to be unearthed. There are so many lessons waiting to be learned. There is a reserve of courage waiting to be found. There are numerous holy moments waiting to be experienced. And there's a lot of struggle for him, too. There's failure and there's disappointment waiting for him. But for Moses to walk into what is waiting for him, God longs for honesty and vulnerability more than reverence. God longs for him to become his truest and most honest and open self. One of the many things I love about Brian McLaren's book is that he sees this transformative journey of faith that we are on as a great adventure that challenges us to heroic tasks. And a fair criticism of the mainline church, so Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, Congregationalists, is that in our effort over the last few decades to not decline and to not die, and I've done this myself, we made faith sometimes a little easy, maybe a little too comfortable, and we lost the sense of the great adventure that we are invited into. As Rob and I said in our podcast this past week, mainliners kind of turn the Ten Commandments into the Ten Suggestions. Try and follow them, but don't take it too seriously. Well, we are on a great adventure. And if we don't ask ourselves to do the hard things like being vulnerable and honest and open, it will be hard to find out what we're truly made of and what we're truly capable of. And if we can do that in front of God, where we will always discover love and mercy and acceptance waiting for us, can you imagine who we each can become? And can you imagine the kind of church that we can become? As McLaren says, that community of learners and seekers alive in the adventures, in the adventure of Jesus, an uprising and a new way of living transformed by the Spirit of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.